So then, our Advent candle invites us to think about love as we approach Christmas. We're going to read a remarkable passage from John's Gospel, chapter 15, starting at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Let's pray. Father, this wonderful theme stretches any preacher's abilities to cover it adequately. Please be with us as we think about this passage, and grant us help by your Holy Spirit. May he indeed shed abroad in our hearts your love this day. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you don't need me to tell you how tough this time of year can be for so many people, and particularly this year, with people being concerned about being able to afford their basic needs: food, water, clothing, shelter, heating. And we know, with the strikes and so on, the discontent, that the issue of wages and conditions of work. And we can add to that list a great number of other things. But according to psychiatrists and psychologists, our most basic needs are just two: to love and to be loved. Right from birth, children need to know they are loved, and through that love, to learn to love. Kath had, those little cards that a child learns. And I think the first one is, a child learns to love by being loved. And that need, those needs, those two needs go with us all through life: to know that we are loved and to be able to love in return. And it's one of the big sort of marketing things these days of helping people to find love. All these websites where you can search, put in your details and find your perfect match. And people are looking for love, searching for love. Why? To receive it and to return it. What the Bible tells us, and this passage in particular, is that God is the one who meets those two basic needs most perfectly in Jesus. It's there right at the beginning. As the Father, God the Father, Jesus' Father in heaven, has loved me, that's Jesus, the Father loves Jesus, so have I loved you. Now, his words were spoken in this chapter clearly to his 12 closest followers. But they extend to us across the years, across the centuries. Don't let this escape you, that God loves is a startling truth. And there's an even greater statement about God, that God is love. That's even more startling. And that God should love human beings, all human beings, the good, the bad, and the rest of us. Now that is something that is very special. Perfect, eternal, unchanging love originates, arises out of the very being, the very heart of God, and it's directed towards all of his creation. One of the Psalms, I can't remember which one it is, says, you are loving to all you have made, to all his creation, but it is focused especially on human beings, as we remember at Christmas. Love came down at Christmas in human form. Jesus Christ came, and through him, God's love is shown to us in the most dramatic and special and inescapable way. Now, clearly, those 12 followers knew what it was to be loved by Jesus in a way that we can't. We will one day. We will one day, but not now. They lived with him for 3 years. They had that particular blessing and that challenge to live with the love of God expressed in Jesus Christ through his presence, through his words, through his actions. Now that was very special, unrepeatable. But in this passage, Jesus hints at the way he demonstrates his love for all people. Here is that staggering words, those staggering words. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. To lay down one's life for one's friends is the greatest love then, is the greatest love. Jesus has already told his disciples, those 12, that he is the great shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And you can't escape from that verse we all know so well, John 3:16. And all through the Gospels, that the whole purpose of Jesus coming into the world was to save the world from perishing. His name spells that out. Jesus, God saves. For he will save his people from their sins, from going to hell. And he does that by giving his life in the place of sinful human beings on the cross. That is what he called the unsurpassable love. Trying to remember his name, but he's a very famous theologian. Begins with B. Can you remember him, John? Sorry. He was arriving up by plane, and he landed by plane, and one of the journalists went up to him. I'll remember at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'll ring you all, okay? Right? And he was asked by a journalist, can you sum up the message of the Bible? This is what he did. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. One of the finest brains that's been applied to the understanding of the scriptures says, if you want to distill the scriptures, you say, Jesus loves me. Isn't that absolutely staggering? Isn't that staggering? Believing in Jesus, putting your faith in Jesus, assures you that you are loved beyond human love. God loves you. You cannot be more loved than you are through Jesus. Not by parents, not by husband or wife or children or friends, anyone. You cannot be loved more than knowing the love of God. And when we feel unloved, and we all go through these phases, let's face it, that's what we're to go to. That laying down of his life to the cross. And we remind ourselves that this is the truth, however we are feeling. I've used this one before. Eileen Dean visited the Amish people. And she came back in America, and she came back with a card. And it says this: Lord, I know you love me. How do you love me? Then it says, and he opened his arms and bowed his head. Have you got it? Have you got it? When you're wobbly, when you're wobbly about whether God loves you, where do you go? You go to the cross. Lord, I know you love me. How do you love me? Goes to the cross. But God wants us to also feel his love. We can know that with our heads. And that's the great challenge, isn't it? Getting what we know in our heads into our hearts. And God wants us to feel that he loves us too, head and heart. And that's one of the reasons why he's given us the Holy Spirit. As Paul writes, I quoted it in my prayer at the beginning, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given us. In our little group, we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And the first fruit of the Spirit is love. Isn't it interesting how love, joy, and peace fit in with the Advent? Love, joy, and peace. That first fruit of the Spirit is love of God for us, of us for God. If you need reassurance, make praying for the work of the Holy Spirit in you a priority.
Yes, amen.
Make that a priority. Pray, God, give me your love by your Spirit. And don't just pray it once. And don't just pray it as a throwaway line. Pray it. God, make me to know your love in my heart. The first thing from this verse then that I want us to go away with from these verses is that you are sure that God loves you with the greatest love. The second I come to now. We all appreciate good friends, but to be friends with God, friends with Jesus, that's what Jesus says to the 12 here. I have called you friends. Loved by God, friends with God. There's no religion anywhere in the world that tells you that about their most high God, whatever it is. Christianity, the Bible, is the only book, the only faith that says to you, God loves you and God is friends with you. But how does Jesus show his friendship? Did you notice that? Because this is a very special and very particular friendship. He says it is because he has opened his heart to them. Isn't that a great thing about friends? Aren't they the ones that you feel confident that you can open your heart to? Others you may have as acquaintances and people that you get on with, but you don't Open your heart to them. Jesus opened his heart to his friends. But notice, it was very, very special because he has revealed to them everything that his Father in heaven wants him to reveal to them. The most important gift of this friend is knowledge of God. Is knowledge of God and God's purposes and plans, both for us as individuals, but for the world, for the universe. And Jesus came and he shared that. He shared that with his friends. This is the greatest act of friendship. And because it's there in the Bible, Jesus is calling us friends. He spoke that to them. But because it's there, we have what he revealed to them in the scriptures. Then his greatest act of friendship extends to us. If Jesus then is our friend, and how often have we sung here, what a friend we have in Jesus. How often have we sung that? If Jesus is our friend, he is the best friend. Friend. He is our greatest friend. So 2 points. That's all. Loved with the greatest love and befriended by the greatest friend. Take that into your Christmas. But you see, if it's true, then a response has to be made to this love, to this friendship. And it is to love back. And it is to prove ourselves to be good friends. I give you that verse again. We love because he first loved us. As we learned love from our mothers and fathers and friends and relatives, so we learn to love God because of God's love for us. So how do we do this? How do we return this love? How do we return this friendship? How do we show that we are good friends of Jesus? The answer to both is exactly the same. Jesus says, you keep my commands. Keep my commands. Do what I say. In the Sermon on the Mount, he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet not do what I say? He says, do what I say. And he focuses here on one particular command. What is it? Love each other. You see, if you say you love God, how can you prove that? You can say it till the cows come home. Jesus is saying, if you love me, there is a way of proving it, of showing it, of demonstrating it, and it is that you love one another. There must be a real, a tangible love among his followers, love for one another. When you become a follower of Jesus, you show your love, your friendship for him by loving other followers. And that's the biggest challenge to any group who say they are followers of Jesus Christ, friends of Jesus Christ, lovers of Jesus Christ. The biggest challenge is not simply to love others, but to love, here are the words, as he did. There's the bar. You know about setting the bar? I was never much good at high jump. I think you understand why. The bar was set far too high for me. Look how high the bar Jesus sets on loving others. Isn't that immense? And doesn't that potentially crush us? Because we know that to love that way is to love sacrificially, most costly. And we know and recognize that we fail. With the best will in the world, we fail. But we have that great encouragement that it's to come to God with our failures, with our sin, and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, to come and to receive the welcome, the forgiving welcome of God through the cross of Jesus Christ for every of the deepest failures and sin in our lives, and to receive that cleansing, and to be able to say, God loves me, and through Jesus, God forgives me. God loves me, and through Jesus, God restores me. And the prayer then, Lord, cleanse me and fill me anew by your Holy Spirit. What a wonderful thing this is, this relationship with God that Jesus came to bring to us. How staggering. What a wonderful truth. Oh, that we'll have this at the heart next Sunday. That we'll have this at the heart of our celebrations of Christmas. Helmut, would you put the prayer on the screen for us now, please? Thank you. I want you to quietly read through this prayer as we prepare now to come to communion. And I want you to be saying to yourself, am I prepared to pray this out loud with other believers that I love and that I would like to love as Jesus loves? I invite those who will to pray with me. Almighty God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you. Because of your great mercy, come to us in your grace and love. Please grant us your forgiveness. Wash us clean. Hide our past behind your back. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and set our feet firmly in your way. We ask these things in the name and for the sake of your lovely Son, our Lord Jesus. Amen.